Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On Thursday this past week, 3 days ago, we celebrated, according to our liturgical calendar, the feast of the presentation of Jesus, the presentation of Christ in the temple. So in the life of Christ thus far, we've celebrated his birth, we celebrated his circumcision on January 1st, and now here we are celebrating him being presented in the temple. Now on the 40th day, according to the Mosaic law, a mother would come with her child. The mother at this time was deemed clean and pure. She'd come with her child to the temple to offer a sacrifice to God. And so Mary and Joseph bring the baby Jesus to the temple. And we find by reading the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke that when they came to the temple, they offered the sacrifice. They met a man there called Simeon. Now Simeon was old in age. He had been in the temple waiting because the Holy Ghost had told him that he wouldn't pass away, he wouldn't die before seeing Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And so you can imagine Simeon is sitting there and he sees Jesus and immediately his heart lights up. And Luke writes that he goes and he holds Jesus and he lifts him up. And he says, Lord, now I can go in peace. Lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to the Gentiles and to be the glory of your people, Israel. Now, in Simeon's canticle, and this is a canticle we say every evening, the Nunc Dimittis, in evening prayer, we see Simeon holding up the baby Jesus and declaring upon him, as one commentator has said, to be the Paschal Lamb. Because when he looks at Jesus, he declares him to be the salvation of God for the Gentiles and for the people of Israel. And it's a powerful act. And here's what our lectionary, the prayer, the collect, for this feast of the presentation of Christ in the temple. On that day we pray, Almighty and ever-living God, we humbly beseech thy majesty, that as thy only begotten Son was this day presented in the temple in substance of our flesh, so we may be presented unto thee with pure and clean hearts. We may be presented to thee with pure and clean hearts. Now, we understand from our knowledge of Jesus Christ that he is the redemption of the world, right? And here we see that in this prayer we are entreating the Spirit, God, to help us be clean and pure, mirroring what Jesus was in his life here on earth. Essentially, we are praying for us to cling onto the goodness of Christ. And as a result of that, we get to be clean and pure. Now, in the collect, in the epistle this morning, and today is Septuagesima Sunday. What that means is we're only 3 weeks away from the Lenten season. It's pre-Lenten season. As you can tell, we've shifted from the Epiphany season into pre-Lenten. We've shifted from green at the altar to violet. We're preparing our hearts, looking forward to Lent. Today we read from St. Paul's epistle, his first epistle to the Corinthians. Now the whole letter of 1 Corinthians is Paul trying to bridge divisions among the church at Corinth. There's lots of problems. There's divisions, there's schisms, there's sexual immorality, there's drunkenness, there's idolatry. And Paul is writing this letter to them to entreat them to stop what they're doing and cling to Christ, the clean and pure, as we prayed. Specifically in the 9th chapter of this epistle, he writes that, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Essentially, the idea, what he's trying to convey via the analogy of sports, would have been very prominent in the culture then. See, Corinth held what you call Isthmian Games. Every 2 years, they'd have games very similar to the Olympics. So it's natural that the people there would probably have been athletes, and they knew what running was, what boxing was. And he's trying to use this same analogy for them. He's trying to say, if you want to be a good athlete, you have to train. You have to discipline your body. You have to control things that enter into your body in order for you to be a good athlete. But he says that those who do these games, you know, it's for a corruptible crown. It's something that won't last forever. And then he looks to the Christians and says, for you, for me, what we're striving for is an incorruptible crown, that which won't be gone tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. It's eternal. Now, again, we read about the presentation of Christ and the prayer, entreating us, the Spirit, to dwell among us and for us to hold fast to that Spirit. And here we see St. Paul telling these people who had so many issues to get out of what they were doing that wasn't glorifying God. I would compare it in the Christian language. There's what you call concupiscence. Concupiscence is this thing, the remnant of sin in our lives that keeps pulling us back into that old life that we want to say goodbye to. It keeps pulling us, wanting to draw us back into our sinful life. And Paul here is telling them, you cannot have it two ways. You have to choose to serve him who will grant unto you an incorruptible crown. And this is the same thing for us today, as we enter into this pre-Lenten season leading up to Lent. This penitential season in which we are trying continuously, reaffirming that decision that we have made to Christ. Because we can't have it two ways. We can't have one foot in sin, in the concupiscence, and one foot in sanctification. You'll be torn into half. You just cannot be in two places at the same time. And this is an encouragement for us this morning, for us to continue clinging on to the beauty that Christ has presented to all people as a light to the Gentiles and as a glory to his people, Israel. And I'd like to conclude by giving us all a challenge. Again, I said, Septuagesima is 3 weeks away from Lent. Let us pray to God. Let us begin thinking about how we can continue to be strong in our faith. Now, remembering that we're not good people for the sake of it. Being good, being moral, isn't good for the sake of being, you know. Christians, we're not in the business of trying to be good people, kind. Right? That's an after effect of our dedication to Christ. The more we are in Christ, the more we continue to look like Christ. These are the fruits that we bear because we are in Christ. So may we be encouraged to continue seeking Christ. May we be encouraged to look upon the same Jesus that was presented in the temple to all humanity, for him to be a light in our own lives and to be the glory of in our life, day in, day out. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.